Hello guys, and welcome to the Lean with Plants podcast. I'm Chelsea, former overweight, healthy vegan, confused about why I couldn't look like my favorite plant-based influencers, even though I was chugging back green smoothies every day. After a decade of unsustainable vegan diets, I learned the truth about weight loss, lost 40 pounds, and now I'm in the best shape of my life, even after two kids. Girl, if you've been struggling to drop the pounds as a vegan, stuck in a cycle of self-sabotage, sick of yo-yo dieting and going hungry, never being able to get and stay lean, then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I share the no BS truth about why vegan women are overweight, the action steps to get you shedding fat, and the mindset you'll need to get slim for life. I'm stoked to have you here. Let's get started. Hey, Andrew, welcome so much to the Lean of Plants podcast. I'm stoked to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, so you became a bit of an internet sensation after eating potatoes and only potatoes for an entire year and losing about 120 pounds. That's insane.
Yeah, it is insane just to think about that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, it feels like it was sort of a dream or something. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it really happened, but yeah, it did.
That's so much weight as well. Like, I'm definitely not 120, but I mean, give or take 10, 15 pounds, like, you lost one of me pretty much, which is crazy. Like, yeah, you lost a human.
Yeah, I lost what my wife weighs.
Wow.
Yep.
Imagine walking around, like, you were literally walking around with the weight of your wife on your back at all times.
Yeah. I recently bought a 20 kilo weighted vest for training with, and so that's 44 pounds, I think. I put that on. I'm like, whoa, this is heavy. I'm like, I had nearly three times that on my on my body. Yeah, at one time.
Three times stronger.
Yeah.
So you started the challenge back in 2016 after realizing that you were addicted to food and you wanted to treat this addiction similar to how someone would treat alcoholism. So as close as possible to abstinence. You obviously can't abstain from food for an entire year, but you wanted to avoid that high dopamine hit from having a variety of food and getting out processed food. 5 years on, you're still eating a sack load of spuds, but you're now eating a whole foods plant-based diet. You're thriving. Can you take us back to that moment when you realized you need to change and what led up to that point?
Yeah, well, it's a sort of a long story, but I'll try to be quick. I was anxious and depressed, and I was struggling, and I'd been clinically diagnosed with those things, and life was pretty miserable, and I was obviously, you know, a morbidly obese guy. Life wasn't very good, and one day I just had a realization that I've been a teacher for a long time. And I realized that all of the kids that I'd ever taught, when I any kid that I couldn't figure out, whether they were a high achiever or other end of the scale, whatever, anything in between, as soon as I had parent-teacher interviews where I met the parents, everything made sense. Kids were always their parents, always. It's just, as much as kids rebel and try to be different and all of that, they always end up like their parents. And at the time, that was a horrifying thought for me, because the last thing I wanted for my son, I only had one son at the time, he was two. And the last thing I wanted for him to end up like me. That was just the worst thing I could imagine. So I decided I have to try again. At that point, I had given up on trying to lose weight and be healthy. I just thought it wasn't possible for me. And I thought, no, I have to do something now, because it's not about me anymore. It's about my son.
Mm.
So try again. So I did. I ended up doing a month I was having green smoothies for breakfast, salads for lunch, healthy dinners. I was getting up at 5 a.m. every day and exercising, and I had a really good month. And at the end of the month, I thought, yeah, I've done good. I deserve a reward. I'm going to have some pizza tonight. I have one slice of pizza. So I ordered home delivered pizza. And of course, you can't get home delivered pizza by the slice. So I ordered a whole pizza. And of course, I told myself that I'd have one slice, but you know what happened next.
So,
I ended up eating the whole pizza plus ice cream and Coca-Cola, and you know, just had a massive binge, and it was terrible. And then the next day, I made all sorts of deals with myself the night before about getting up extra early and doing an extra long training session, and you know, getting back to eating the right way the next day. And of course, none of that happened. And then the next day I was feeling really down about life and about myself. And sometime in the afternoon, I cracked open a beer. And as I sat down on the couch with this beer, I suddenly realized that the way that I'd treated food my whole life was the way an alcoholic would treat the beer that was in my hand. It's a pretty common story that an alcoholic does really well for a month, like I did with food for a month. And then like, oh yeah, I'm doing well. I can just have one beer now. Everything's fine. You know, I'll be able to have one beer tonight and I'll go back to being sober tomorrow. And yeah, it doesn't work like that. and it didn't work like that for me. So I thought, well, if my behavior mirrors that of an alcoholic, then perhaps the solution should mirror that of an alcoholic. And that would be to quit. And I at first that was more depressing because you can't quit food. And I thought, well, I'm stuffed. If I'm, you know, at least an alcoholic can quit alcohol. I can't quit food. So that's a really depressing realization. And then I thought, well, I wonder how close I could get to quitting. And I ended up getting on Google, as you do. And 6 weeks of research. Not just Google, like I have a science degree in my past. So, you know, I did read a lot of peer-reviewed science and I read books as well and watched lectures from nutrition experts and I set it on potatoes as being the thing. So, yeah, I did it. So that probably ended up, that answer took a lot longer than I intended, but there you go.
It sounds to me like you had two quite strong epiphanies. The first one being that you didn't want your kids to end up like you, and that was the catalyst. And then the next one where you realized that you had a bit of an addiction. I think those two things show an incredibly high level of self-awareness. Like you got really clear with what your issues were. I don't think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, that's after a couple of, a lifetime. It's not just like, you know, I don't think I'm anyone unusual. I guess these days I do have probably a higher level of self-awareness than most people. But, you know, at that point in time, I'd been struggling with my weight for decades. You know, I think if I was a highly self-aware person, I would have come up with a solution earlier than that.
It's easy to say in hindsight, yeah. Isn't it? It's all the little steps that lead to those moments.
I certainly had a couple of moments there of high self-awareness, you know, moments of clarity there. But I guess that was, you know, the exception rather than the rule. I just happened to have a couple of really, really good moments there. And that's, it went from there. I think it's important that people, sorry, I didn't hear that, but I'll just finish what I was saying that, people have this sort of moment of motivation, which I got with that realization that my boys were going to end up like, or my boy at the time, I had one, was going to end up like me. And that was a highly motivating thing. Mm. And it got me going, but I still messed it up. Yeah. I still failed. And, you know, at that point, I would have in the past, if I didn't have this moment with the beer where I had the next realization, I would have, that was it. I was thrown in the towel. I was done. And that's what people do. And so I think that's important for people to realize too. You're not necessarily going to get it right the first time or the 100th time, whatever. Just keep going. You know.
And it's like you actually learned more from that failure because that is what spurred you on to the next thing. Yeah, I think that it's super interesting. I'm sure you've heard of that saying where we don't change until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change. I mean, I don't know if that's true. There's obviously a lot of things to do with tiny habits and being able to kind of hijack our innate dislike of change. But yeah, I think it's good for people to understand that when change is always going to be hard, but you have that realization, this is not worth it anymore. I've got to do something different. And then it's those little habits. We'll get into habits a little bit later on because I know you're into them as well.
love it. Yeah. I think my example with my realizing about my boy is an example that, you know, you can find ways to make it more painful. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So if it was just about me, I would have just let it go. I would have just, maybe another time would have come where I would have had enough. But at that point, I was just like, whatever, I'm a mess. Let's just settle into life of being a hopeless loser and just accept it. But when it wasn't about me anymore and it became about my boy, then, okay, I can't, you know, I can't put this on him. He has to have a better chance. So, it doesn't have to be about kids. If you don't have kids, you know, you can search for other ways to find, you know, make it feel like you need to do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talk about that a lot with people that I work with as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I read that weight loss is, and I haven't actually verified this, but I read that weight loss was the number one goal of Americans when it came to New Year's resolutions. And just from my own experience, like I've talked to, and I'm sure you have as well, hundreds of people who are so incredibly desperate to lose weight. Like this is a huge pain point for people. And you did it eating a ton of carbohydrates, especially potatoes. So many people are scared of carbs. They're scared of potatoes. Even a lot of my listeners who are familiar with the starch solution, they're still scared to eat too many starches. Why the heck did you settle on potatoes?
Well, first of all, it wasn't about weight loss. I was not trying to lose weight. It was a very simple thing. And that was that I was a food addict and I didn't want to be addicted to food. And that's as simple as that. If you're an alcoholic, you're not quitting beer, like you're not quitting drinking alcohol because you think it'll make you skinny. You're quitting because you're causing problems in your life and you don't want those problems anymore.
It's very true.
And there's a chance, once you're not an alcoholic anymore, maybe you'll lose weight. You know, that might be a thing, or maybe you'll switch you'll stop drinking alcohol and start eating donuts instead. Who knows? You know, that's not the point. You know, the point of quitting alcohol is not to lose weight. And I really wanted it to be the same. It's not about weight loss. It's about changing my relationship with food and changing my behavior. And outside that, whatever will be, will be. You know, every other time in the past that I'd changed the way I ate, it was all about losing weight. It was all about losing weight. Every time I was 100%, I've got to lose weight. And it never worked. I lost weight, but then I always put it back on. And I was like, well, you know, every time I've lost weight, I've ended up fatter than I was before. So let's not worry about that this time.
Were you worried about it? Did you think you were going to lose weight?
I expected that I would lose some weight. I expected that, you know, if I wasn't eating pizza and ice cream and chocolate and all that sort of crap, that I would lose some weight. But I didn't expect to lose as much as I did. And of course I was happy that I lost weight. Yeah, of course. But that was always a secondary thing. The first thing was that I just need to change the way I see food, change its place in my life, and really, you know, find freedom from the constant internal debate and the internal battle that's just was all day, every day. It was exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't want to do that anymore.
Life, doesn't it? Because you can't get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, weight loss was nice, but you know, that wasn't the aim. And if it was purely about weight loss, I probably wouldn't have chosen potatoes because, you know, I wasn't, that's not, you know, I was like everyone else. I thought I was worried about eating too many carbs or too many starches, but I was like, nothing else is working for me. That's just, you know.
Well, nutritionally then, because a lot of our listeners are scared of carbohydrates, what was it about the potato that you thought, this is the kind of food that is going to keep me going for a long time? I'm not going to need anything else. Like, what was it about the little humble white potato that made you decide this is adequate?
Yeah, well, potatoes they've sustained entire populations throughout human history. You know, for thousands and thousands of years, potatoes have been a staple. People that have eaten a lot of potatoes have done very well. And, you know, to this day, there are Papua New Guinea and Highlander tribes that eat pretty much only sweet potatoes. And you should see them. They're big, strong, fit, healthy people. They're like, they look like athletes. They're big, strong people. And other than, you know, celebration feast days where they might eat some meat on those days, apart from that, it's pretty much only sweet potatoes. And I've met people who have lived that life. And they tell me that, yeah, we just eat sweet potatoes. Oh, yeah, what else? Just sweet potatoes. And that might be like a couple of times a year they would sacrifice a pig for a feast day or something. And other than that, it's just sweet potatoes. And yeah, you can go to the Irish population as well. They've had a couple of centuries where they ate not only but almost only sweet potatoes. And, you know, their population boomed. You know, you don't have a population boom if the people in the population are not healthy.
Yeah.
And writers at the time noted that the Irish population were bigger and stronger and fitter and more attractive than their English neighbors just across the border. You know, it was the potatoes. So, you know, I could talk for ages about why potatoes are great. They do have everything we need, and other than B12, I always recommend supplementing B12, but I think most people in the population probably should anyway. And yeah, they've got everything we need. And as far as the weight loss side of things goes, they're a low calorie density food. That's the reason. As far as the percentage of the calories, a high percentage of the calories comes from carbohydrates, yes. But when you break down what's in a potato, the number one ingredient is water. And that's got no calories in it. You're not going to get fat from drinking water, and you're not going to get fat from eating water either.
The main weight loss ingredient is water.
Yeah. And then they also have a lot of fiber, which is also zero calories. And then they've got carbohydrates and protein and fat. Most people think zero fat. No, they do have fat, just a very small amount. But yeah, it's the water and fiber content that takes up most of the room. And that means that, you know, you can fill up, eat as much as you want. And most of what you're getting is water and fiber. And that's, you know, it's very, very hard to overeat on potatoes. So yeah, that's a pretty simple thing.
That's so cool. I'm really curious. This is kind of a little detour. Was there any other foods that initially you were like, oh, maybe I could eat that for a year, maybe I could eat that? Like, did you settle on the potato after a few other contenders, or was it straight away the research is pointing to potatoes? Like, how did you start? Like, what else was in the running? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, another option was there's another thing. There's something called the rice diet. If anyone wants to look it up, it's by Walter Kempner. He's the guy that came up with the rice diet. But that was rice and like rice with fruit and vegetables.
Right.
It wasn't just one ingredient. I really wanted one ingredient. So, but that does, you know, the rice diet seems like a very healthy thing. And I have coached people to do the rice diet for various reasons that we don't need to go into. But well, we can if you want, but I'll take up too much time. But yeah, as far as one ingredient goes, yeah, in theory, bananas could have done it. Mangoes could have done it. But for a couple of reasons why I didn't choose those. Number one was that I couldn't find, you know, nutritionally, they do seem very complete, but I couldn't find examples of it actually having been done in the past. There's not like populations that have lived on only bananas, things like that. And the other thing was that I just thought with potatoes, there's a bit more variety in the ways that you can have them.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, bananas, all I could think of was I could either, you know, peel a banana and eat it, or I could make a banana smoothie and that was about it, you know. With potatoes, at least there's a few more options. So that was two major reasons, yeah.
Oh, and potatoes would be so much more filling than bananas as well, like over the course of a couple of hours. I remember when I used to eat a lot of bananas, did a bit of a like raw vegan stint, and it was torture for me because I would be super full from a really, really big banana smoothie, and then an hour later, starving hungry, just reaching.
I've done the same. Yeah. On two separate occasions before the whole SpudFit thing, I had done like a month or 2 months of only raw fruits and raw veggies. And yeah, same thing. You could have a whole, like 2 liters of smoothie for breakfast, and you're hungry again in a couple of hours. Like, what the hell? That was a massive meal I had, and now I need to eat again.
And you can't get any work done as well because you're just peeing all the time. You have to pee and eat constantly when you're on a raw diet. I mean, I'm sure, I know it does work for some people. They do it really, really well. I personally am not a fan. I did not find it very helpful. So what does your lifestyle look like now?
Well, previously I've called it a whole food potato based diet, but that's evolved now to what I call it mega foods now is my thing.
Sounds really exciting.
Yeah, so it is a lot of potatoes still, like you mentioned earlier, and that's what I base my diet around. But it's basically the mega foods thing is it's my sort of slant on a whole foods plant-based diet. It's just the name I came up with because I needed a name, and it comes from I think there's including in the vegan whole food plant-based community, there's a huge focus on superfoods. You know, there's superfoods like your kale and broccoli and spirulina and all these little powders and stuff.
Goji
and
berries.
Whatever. Yeah, goji berries, acai berries, yeah. Whatever, you know.
All the superfoods are so expensive.
Yeah. And, you know, anything that needs to, you know, be tracked down by, you know, I don't know, some sort of indigenous person from a far off.
It's almost like to obtain health, we have to be in this kind of mystical quest, you know, like I traveled to the highlands of kind of random place and plucked a tiny little petal from a flower and traveled back, ground it into paste. And now we sell it for hundreds of dollars. And that's the only thing that's going to help you get healthy.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is the whole thing. So the mega foods is basically the antithesis of superfoods. Yeah. That's where the mega foods
potato.
Let's focus on the mega foods, yeah. And that's what I do. I'm not. There's nothing wrong with superfoods, but they're not going to. You know, I think of it like if you're driving a car, it's got a V8 engine in it, you know, beautiful big V8 engine, strong, powerful thing, except it's misfiring and it's, you know, it's only working off 5 cylinders instead of 8. And, you know, it's blowing smoke out the exhaust and everything. There's not a lot of point in strapping a turbocharger onto the top of that. You know, you're putting a turbocharger. It's just, you're probably just going to blow the whole thing up. And that's, to me, that's a bit like, you know, if you're just eating a standard diet, And then you go, I need to get healthier. I know what I'll do. I'll keep eating the diet that I've got, but I'll add some kale to it and some broccoli and some whatever.
Andrew, are you telling me I cannot eat burgers and just put some kale in it and be completely healthy? Are you shattering this dream for me right now?
I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Don't shoot the messenger. But, you know, it's, in my eyes, let's focus on the mega foods. Let's get that V8 engine in working order. Let's get it firing on all cylinders and let's get it, you know, purring like a kitten. And then once you've done that, if you then want to put the turbocharger on top, great, no problem.
Thank you.
Add your kale, add your broccoli. But let's get the potatoes, the rice, the beans, you know, the oats, all these sorts of things. And let's focus on those and really make those the preoccupation of what we're trying to do. And you know, make the superfoods an afterthought. They're something that you can have if you want, but, you know, no big deal. Just have some colored, you know, eat the rainbow, whatever, you know, all that stuff that people want to do. Eat all the colored stuff. And yeah, that's fine. That's great. Nothing wrong with that. But it's silly to focus on getting all your colors in if you haven't got your rice and your potatoes and your beans and, you know, all that sort of stuff sorted. So that's my philosophy, I guess, these days.
So what are the top 5 mega foods?
Oh, I try, potatoes are at the top, yeah. because you know, they're the only one that's, potatoes and sweet potatoes are the only one that are the really complete that, you know, will give you everything. But other than that, I don't really try to, you know, make it a list of the top foods or whatever. It's just after that, it's everything else. It's oats, it's, you know, beans, all different kinds of beans. And I don't know, maybe there's 100 different kinds of beans, probably more. All the grains, wheat is one. People always, you know, wheat, you can't eat wheat, but whatever. Wheat is a mega food. Unless you're celiac, then, you know, that's not for you. But yeah, millet, barley, whatever, you know, all these different grains. And then I sort of have some honorary mega foods, which are, you know, like we mentioned earlier, bananas, mangoes, the sort of higher carbohydrate fruits.
Right.
Apples, things like that. Whereas berries are the fruits that are lower carbohydrates, and they're not going to give you enough calories to, kick ass on a daily basis. So they come under, the add them if you want them kind of banner.
So it's mainly things like tubers, whole grains, legumes, those would be, and then some higher calorie fruits. Those are your mega foods and the foods that are going to keep you full. The thing that I notice, and it's been fascinating to me as I've been on this journey of teaching vegan women how to lose weight, the number one problem that people struggle with is consistency. And it's not even, I mean, we pretty much all know what eating healthy looks like. There's a bit of confusion now. You've got obviously keto, awful keto diets and paleo diets and a whole lot of other things. But especially in the plant-based community, we know whole foods, it's healthy, right? But when you have a consistency issue, 9 times out of 10, I would say that's because of hunger. It's because of not eating enough potatoes, eating enough whole grains, legumes, and things that are actually going to keep you full for a long period of time, particularly fiber-filled foods. And then you end up binging, you end up ordering that pizza because you're just hungry. You're freaking hungry. And you think it's a willpower. A lot of people think this is a willpower problem. It's like, no, you're not eating enough of these high fiber, starchy foods to actually lower the need for motivation and willpower.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really glad you mentioned that because every day I hear from people that say, I'd like to do that, but I don't have the willpower. Mm. I'm like, come on. If I was like some sort of willpower superhero, one of the other 1,000 diets that I tried would have stuck.
Yeah.
I would have done them.
Yeah.
But it worked precisely because I needed willpower for them. You know, the idea of that you need to be stronger or mentally tougher or have more willpower is just silly. No one's got unlimited willpower. And you're 100% right that the first port of call, anytime anyone has cravings or anyone wants to, go and order a pizza or feels like giving up or whatever, I always say, first eat potatoes, and it doesn't have to be potatoes, but that's what I call my rule. It can be another whole food if you want, but, just tell yourself, okay, no problem. You can order the pizza. You can, you can go to McDonald's. You're allowed to do that. It's all fine. But before you do, fill up on potatoes. Get seriously full on potatoes. Like stuff yourself. And once you've done that, then check in again and see if you still want the pizza. And I bet you you won't.
No, because when you're stuffed full with potatoes, you just want to go over sleep.
It's important that people realize that it's not a lack of willpower. It's just the lack of food. Just eat your food.
Yeah. And hunger is something that we are just not designed to eat. Like it's a powerful survival mechanism. So if you're constantly fighting hunger, at some point you're going to give in. Potatoes are the most satisfying food on the planet. So if you eat potatoes, I love it how, because I've heard this myth and legend of you having that rule where you'd say, I can eat whatever I want. I just have to stuff myself in potatoes. I think that's awesome because it wasn't about the willpower. It was just about stopping that hunger from taking over.
That's what I mean. And if it was, like we said earlier, if it was an aim to lose weight for the year eating potatoes, then I wouldn't have had the rule that I can eat as much potatoes as I want whenever I want. Because I was trying, that was my major rule to follow, was just eat as much as I feel like whenever I feel like it.
Mm.
And that's not a rule that you come up with if it's all about losing weight.
Yeah.
I eat as much as you feel like whenever you feel like it. And if, as long as it's potatoes, then you're winning. And that's I stuck with that all the way through. And including when I had cravings, I would, there was a time when I stopped, I drove into the McDonald's car park and I was ready to give up. And I was ready to just, it was day 4 or something. And that was actually where that rule came from, of the first eat potatoes rule, because I was ready to just go, this is stupid. I'm an idiot. Why the hell did I even think this was a good idea? And I pulled into the McDonald's car park. And I was going to go in and get McDonald's, and I was vegan at the time. So McDonald's for me I've been vegan for a long time, but I would go to McDonald's and get 2 large fries and a Coke. That was my McDonald's meal. and as I went to get out of the car, I saw my box of potatoes there in the passenger seat. And I thought, I just have to eat them because, the reason I always had potatoes with me was so that I couldn't tell myself that I'm hungry, I need to eat.
Yeah.
And that's why at McDonald's. Well, if I'm hungry, then the potatoes are going to solve the problem. So I can't lie to myself and say that I had to eat McDonald's for hunger. The potatoes are right there. So I was like, okay, I'll eat the potatoes. And then once the potatoes are gone, then I'll be able to tell myself that I had to have McDonald's because I was hungry and I didn't have other food. I was just trying to play the system, you know?
You had a really strong, solid system in there.
Yeah. But it was only from, you know, it got stronger after this experience because I didn't have the first potatoes rule yet. I was like, if I'm hungry, I've got to eat potatoes. And then, you know, if I'm hungry and there are no potatoes, what do I do? Well, then I can eat McDonald's, you know. All right, so let's eat the potatoes. So I ate them all. There was like eight potatoes there. It took me probably, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. I stuffed them all in. And I was like, great, now I can go and get McDonald's. So I opened the door of my car and went to get out. And I was like, actually, I don't really want McDonald's now. I'm full. And then I was like, oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting. And then I like closed the door and left, and I didn't get McDonald's because I couldn't have even fit McDonald's in anyway. I was just really full. And then later I thought about it and I was like, that's a really good rule to have. If I feel hungry, tell myself I can have it, which I did at McDonald's. I'm going to have it after eating my potatoes. Just don't try to fight it. Just, yeah, okay, you can have that. Just eat your potatoes first. And yeah, that became a rule. So, and it works every time. I've done it with hundreds of people now, and it works.
That's so cool. I love that so much. One of my favorite people is James Clear. He wrote the book Atomic Habits. And
yeah, I love
it. It's such a good book. And he says in there that you rise or fall to the level of your systems. And it's so, so true. You see it again and again. And he even says in that there's been studies now which show that people's willpower doesn't really vary that much. So between individuals, people that you see as really dedicated, they don't actually have a ton more dedication, a ton more motivation than anyone else. They just have a more dedicated system and they have a more dedicated environment, or disciplined, I should say. That's a really, really good example of that. You had the potatoes right there. I kind of almost imagine this little potato in like an angel kind of robe with like a harp, and it's like strumming the harp saying like, Andrew, eat me, don't eat McDonald's. It's like your conscience, but it's right there, it's visible. And then you had that rule. I can do whatever I want. I just have to stuff myself with potatoes first.
Yeah, it was a mind trick. And I did do a lot of thinking about what had failed me in the past. And one of the things that I came up with was that if I'm out and about and I get hungry, I'm probably just going to eat whatever I can see.
Yeah.
Because I'm not very good at dealing with hunger. So I need to have potatoes with me all the time. That was a rule that I had from the beginning, all the time, so that I can't use the hunger excuse. I wanted to take the hunger excuse out of the equation. So that was what that was all about. And then that McDonald's experience, because I had the potatoes with me and I couldn't say I had to eat McDonald's because I was hungry, then that was the process that got me into that. But I love what you're talking about systems, because I talk about this all the time with people who I coach as well. And that's, if a Spud Fit challenge, if only potatoes is something, you know, you're just trying to lose weight, then okay, great, you're probably going to lose weight, you know, not probably, you will lose weight. Everyone loses weight doing it if you've got weight to lose. So yeah, you can lose weight, but if it's just a thing that you're doing to lose weight, then you're probably going to lose weight and then put it back on. You know, the Spud Fit challenge is not magic. It's going to be like every other diet if you do it that way. But I think the goal of it is, yeah, eat only potatoes, lose weight. But your goal shouldn't be to lose weight. It should be to become the kind of person who is lean.
Oh, I love that so much. I love that. We did an identity challenge in my membership in January, and was like, who do you need to become to get where you want to go? And it's exactly that same kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you become the kind of person who is lean, then okay, you might not look like it, but it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know, if you become the kind of person who is lean and make the choices that a lean person would, then sooner or later you will be lean.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to think about the weight loss. You don't have to, you know, it just happens by itself. And, you know, when healthy eating changes from being a thing that you're trying to do for a while to becoming a part of who you are, then that's, you know, that's where long-term success comes from. Anyone can lose weight. It's very difficult to keep it off. And if you want to keep it off, then you have to become someone who makes those choices. And yeah, so that's where the systems thing comes in too. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's so, so cool. So one of the things that you talk about is massive positive action. Can you explain that?
Yeah, that's I guess in a way that sort of I diverge a bit from James Clear. I love his Atomic Habits and, you know, taking small actions, and that's great as well. And I do use a lot of James Clear's stuff in my coaching and in my own life. And I think it's amazing, but I also think sometimes you just got to go big, uh-huh. You know, just got to put all your cards on the table, go all in, put all your chips in and just go, yeah, I'm doing something big here. And yeah, there is a time and a place for that. And I think if you can go all in and take huge action and really put everything you've got into it, then results come quick.
Yeah.
And you know, they come fast and those, the motivation to keep on pushing that builds and yeah, things happen. And, you know, that's what I did with my SpudFit challenge. I took massive positive action. That was a big thing for me to do. It was scary. I didn't actually think it was possible, but, you know, I decided on this massive goal and I went for it. But it was that massive goal at the same time was supported by little systems in place and little extra habits to help me keep on going with that massive action. So yeah, I do think that's a big thing. Yeah, just decide what you want and yeah, just go all in, you know. I do think that's a big thing.
Oh, totally. So did you decide right at the beginning that you were going to do an entire year, or did you play it by ear?
No, well, yeah, I did, but it was sort of, there was a lot of decisions to make, and it sort of happened by accident a bit. That moment on the couch with my beer, that was in the beginning of November, and then it was like, okay, I started doing some research, and I'm not someone to just jump into something. It was like, okay, I need to figure out what the right food is, figure out if this is even possible, and so I did a lot of research and I did a lot of reading and yeah, towards the end of December, like around a little bit before Christmas was when I was like, okay, this is doable. I've just finally settled that, like, this is doable. I've got no doubt that somebody can eat only potatoes for an extended period of time and be healthy. I've got no doubt about that. But the question, am I going to do it? Probably not, because I think it's insane and crazy and somebody could do it, but I'm not the guy. and then I started thinking about it, like, okay, well, I've got nothing else to do and I do need to do something, so let's give this a try. And then it was like, how long am I going to do it for? Initially, I didn't have any idea of what was the optimum amount of time. So I was just like thinking, okay, 2 months is a good amount of time, or maybe 100 days is a good amount of time. And I came up with those because I had seen other people doing like juice fasts for 100 days and things like that. I was like, okay.
That's like torture.
Yeah. But I don't know. Just other people had 100-day challenges going on that I had followed bloggers and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, 100 days, whatever. Let's do that. And then like 3 days before January 1st, I realized that January 1st was coming. And you know, if I start on the January 1st, and what if I just keep going until January 1st? Like, oh, okay, that sounds interesting. It wasn't like, you know, I need to do a whole year to fix my problems or whatever. I didn't know how long I needed to do to fix my problems, but it was like, there was just something poetic about January 1st to January 1st. And it was like, I didn't think I could do it. I got to be clear on that. I didn't think I could do it, but it was like, there was something about it that made me want to try. And I did, yeah. So I've got no good reason for that time frame. It just felt right.
Yeah, it just happened.
Yeah.
With a lot of positive action and systems.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to get bored initially when you change your diet. I've done potato resets as well. I can't imagine eating only potatoes for a year. I'd love to hear how you dealt with cravings and wanting to quit over that time. or is it mainly just stuffing yourself with potatoes every time?
Yeah, the first 2 weeks was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Okay.
But 2 weeks was really hard. And yeah, basically that's how I got through it. I stuffed myself with potatoes. Anytime I had a craving, I stuffed myself with potatoes. I did have moments or days at a time, where, you know, even just thinking about potatoes made me want to vomit. It was like, not even looking at them or tasting them, just thinking about them was like, oh God, I just don't want another potato. And, you know, I just knew that this is, you know, I'm no one special. Again, I keep going about, I'm no one special. If the Irish can live on potatoes for centuries, then I can do it for a year. You know, if it makes me feel sick to think about potatoes, I'm sure that's not going to last, because I'm not special. I'm not an unusual guy. There must be something on the other side of this. I've got to keep going. So yeah, I did. And it was hard, but yeah, that was the way it was. But then from 2 weeks on, I got through that. You know, there was like 3 or 4 days where I was a real struggle, and I felt sick thinking about potatoes, but I did get through that. And then after a couple of weeks, I just got to the point where I just accepted that this is what I'm doing. And it was like, food's not about fun. It doesn't have to be fun. You know, we want life to be fun. And part of the reason we eat food we eat fun and interesting food is because we want to have a fun and interesting life. And, yeah. And I was like, well, why don't I make my life fun and interesting and stop relying on food for that? You know, I can do fun and interesting things that are not food related, and I ended up having a way more fun, way more interesting year than I have ever had. And food was obviously not a part of that, because potatoes are not fun.
That's so inspiring. Do you still, or do you ever eat any kind of indulgent food? Do you ever go off plan now?
On a rare occasion, yeah, like for example, my son, who is turning 3 next week, on his first birthday, I had a little bit of his birthday cake, because I wanted to do that. It was a well thought through thing. It wasn't just spur of the moment thing. I can't handle looking at the cake. I need to eat it. I thought about that for weeks beforehand, yeah. And I thought about what action I would take if you know, the demon came back.
Yeah.
And yeah, it turned out to be fine, and I didn't need to worry about it. But I was very well planned in my head about, okay, if this sets me off on a path that I don't like, what am I going to do about it? And so I had a plan in place, but I didn't need the plan in the end. In the end, I actually only had one mouthful of the cake, because it was just way too overpowering for me, and I didn't want it. I didn't finish my slice. So yeah, that's an example. And another example might be a couple of times I've been out to restaurants and I've asked for no oil, and the food has come with oil. And
they love putting, you know, oil in everything.
Yeah. So on those occasions, yeah, I've eaten like a vegetable stir fry that had a little bit of oil in it or something like that. But yeah, that's about as far as it goes for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very similar. In November last year, I decided that I just wasn't going to be eating processed food. And I had my kind of own definition of what that was, like junk food specifically. I'd still eat things like pasta. And I haven't really gone back on that. Like, for the most part, I've stayed whole foods, not been like going out and getting chips, which I would do occasionally, or cake and things like that. And I've found it so easy. I'm like way more calm. I'm not worried about like a weekend turning into a week, and it's like I feel like my life is just more level, more calm. It's really nice,
more relaxed. Yeah, it's people think it's going to be like really hard, and you're like always going, oh, I can't have the cake, oh, what am I going to do? And you've just got to be, you know, white knuckling it, and you know, you got to slap yourself to walk past the cake shop and things like that. It's not the way it works. It's like, it's a couple of weeks. Yeah. It's a couple of weeks of you have those moments, and then you relax, you move on.
And the thing is, when I was having the cake, that's when I really was like, oh, don't have another piece. Like, oh, don't eat way, way more. You know, it was the hardest moment is always when you've had a little bit and then you just really, really want to have more. That's so much harder than never starting. Is it Mark Twain that says, the only thing I can't resist is temptation?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was him, but I do remember hearing that saying. Yeah.
So funny.
I like that.
So yeah. you and I and many, many amazing other people in the plant-based community, a lot of them a lot smarter than you and I, I'm sure, a lot more well-researched. But we're all sharing very, very similar messages. Whole foods, plant-based diet, low fat, get your consistency up there. What have you learned over the past 5 years that you wish more people in this community knew about? What's your like special take on this kind of way of eating or habits or how you approach what you do?
Yeah, there's two things. Number one is simplicity. It's really important that, you know, when people change diets and they want to switch to a whole food plant-based diet, most people, the first thing they do is try to find all the recipes. I need all the recipes. I need all the kitchen gadgets. I need new cookbooks. I need new everything in it. And it's like, no, you don't, you know. You can just chill out. One of my favorite meals is literally onion and garlic in a fry pan. Who doesn't like that? With some frozen peas and some rice. Done.
Sounds great.
You know? It's just not that hard. You just eat food, you know, eat potatoes. You just keep it simple. Simplicity is actually better in my eyes because, yeah, it's nice to eat delicious foods from amazing recipe books and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, it's more important to just live your life and not get bogged down by trying to figure out what to make for dinner. So that's number one. And number two is that you hear from, and I've heard from lots of people that, you know, not many people say this, but most of the places you go, they'll say, you know, clean up your environment, make sure your house doesn't have any junk food in it. You know, if it's in your house, it's in your mouth, that sort of thing. I hear that everywhere. And for so many people, myself included, that's not realistic. You know, I have a family that I live with. They eat, everyone in my family is 100% vegan, but they're not. You know, my wife likes a bit of chocolate every now and then. And, you know, my kids, they have a little bit of ice cream from time to time or whatever. These are rare things, but I'm not going to tell them that they're not allowed to have that stuff in the house.
Right.
You know, what I think we're better off focusing on is rather than seeing the chocolate that's in my fridge door, and it's there right now, I know it's there, as an opportunity to destroy my eating habits, I look at it as, well, I don't even look at it as anything anymore. It doesn't sit in, it doesn't bother me. But when I started this whole thing, that became I called it my cravings gym. So if you want to get stronger, you got to go to the gym. If you want your cravings resistance muscle in your brain to get stronger, you've got to face cravings.
Wow.
And so opening the fridge door and seeing the chocolate there, that was an opportunity for me to practice saying no and get better at saying no. And you know, I think you can see all sorts of opportunities like that. It's just, you don't need to clear your house out. You don't need to put the pressure on everyone else in your house. Like, it's, if I can't follow this diet, it's your fault. No, it's not someone else's fault. You can turn the situation around and look at it differently and look for opportunities in challenges rather than challenges being something that's going to cause you to fail. That's my two big things.
Opportunities and challenges. That is phenomenally powerful. I want to get that on. Cool.
Yeah, well, whatever hard times you face, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Well, any time in life, you're going to face hard times. And if you can look at that as an opportunity to show how strong you are,
yeah,
or look at it as an opportunity to use that to practice something, then, yeah, you can only get better.
That's so interesting. I love that. I feel like we could do another podcast episode all about that because it is, like you say, it is quite a different take on things. Very
interesting.
One of the questions I wrote down, this is so funny. I wrote down, are you special? Do you need lots of willpower to do something like this? And you've already said, I'm not special. I don't have a lot of willpower. What advice do you have for people who struggle with consistency, even when they know what to do?
Don't let perfection be the enemy of good is the biggest thing I say, because the people that are struggle with consistency, they'll have, you know, one little bit of something that's not right, and then they'll go, there's no point trying anymore, I give up.
Yeah.
And then they'll have like a week of, you know, crap before they eventually go, I've got to get back on it.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, obviously the goal is 100%, but 99 is still pretty good,
yeah.
You know. if you do something 99%, celebrate it, be proud of it, and then keep going for 100, you know?
Yeah.
Like I would say, a B plus is a good mark. It's not an A plus, but it's still a good mark. You should be proud of it. And if you get a B plus, that doesn't mean
you're normally getting an F. If you're normally getting an F, then you'd be happy with a pass.
Yeah. So celebrate the B plus, but also recognize that it's not what I want. I want the A plus. So let's get after it. Yeah.
That's so cool. I love that. Well, we're going to leave this here. It's been fascinating for me. I'm sure it's going to be super helpful for our listeners. Where can people find you? How can they find out about your books and your courses and your coaching? Would love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, no worries. Spudfit.com is the best place, and you can email me if you want, andrew@spudfit.com. So that's the best place. I'm on all the social medias as well. I'm Spudfit everywhere, except TikTok. I don't think I'm going to get TikTok. But just Spudfit on the social medias and spudfit.com, and you can get me there, and feel free to email me. I'm always happy to help.
Cool. Thank you so much, Andrew. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries. Thank you for having me, and thank you for doing all the great work that you do as well. Keep it up.